This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala habibina wa nabiyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fil awwalin. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala habibina wa nabiyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fil akhirin. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala habibina wa nabiyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kullama dhakarahu dhakirun al-abrar wa kullama ghafala an dhikrihi al-ghafilun. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows what we reveal and knows what we conceal and even knows what the animals feel. We thank Him, we praise Him, and on Him we have reliance. It is to Him we only turn to for our true guidance. And we ask Him to send His peace, His blessings, His mercy on the best of human beings and Prophets Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon whom be praise until the very end of our days. And we ask Him for steadfastness, guidance, mercy, and to never lead us astray, and for Him to save us on Judgment Day. I'd like to first thank Al-Hikmah for organizing this beautiful conference, the Islamic Summit, regarding stories from the Qur'an. Now oftentimes, many of us when we reflect on stories of the Qur'an, we think about, the first thing that we think about is stories of the Prophets. Then we think about the personalities that were mentioned, such as Maryam alayhi salam, Mary, and Luqman al-Hakim, Luqman the Wise, and the story that you heard from Surah Al-Kahf. But oftentimes, many of us don't reflect on something that's very important and crucial when it comes to the Qur'an itself. The Qur'an, in fact, tells a story of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Prophet, peace be upon him, was the mukhatab, or the one that was addressed in the Qur'an. The Qur'an was revealed according to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So quite literally, you can say every single verse of the Qur'an ties into the life and story of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what makes the Qur'an so powerful, because quite literally, every part of the Qur'an that was revealed tied directly to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if I were to take you back to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the time that he lived in. Nowadays we are going through a level of difficulty as a Muslim community. There's a level of Islamophobia. There's a level of misunderstanding of what Islam is. There's a level of people who may misrepresent what Islam is through their own actions, and people who claim to follow Islam and commit atrocities under the name of Islam and have nothing to do with it. So there's a time when there is generally in the community, you could say there is a level of sadness over what is going on. You could say that there is a level of despair. You could say that there's a level of almost, in some aspect with some people, giving up hope. But if we were to reflect in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was it like then? And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal from the Qur'an in the story, in the event of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which gave them hope? We'll share this through the example of one companion. A companion that many, many Muslims may have not reflected over his life thoroughly. In fact, there is another companion who has been given a station and status, even though this companion may have had it worse than him. And this companion, his name is Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiyallahu anhu arda. Khabbab ibn al-Arat was a young man in Mecca who was from actually the northern part of Arabia, known as the powerful tribe of Banu Tamim. He was a black man, just like Bilal radiyallahu anhu. And when he was young, the Arab fought with one another over Arab tribal and ethnic wars. And his tribe fought with another tribe known as Rabi'ah, and they took a number of them as slaves. They took Khabbab ibn al-Arat and they dragged him to Mecca into slavery. And he was sold to a woman, a noble woman of Quraysh, of the Meccan Arabs, pagans, by the name of Anmar al-Zuhriyah. This woman was from a very powerful tribe. And this woman had a number of sons who had powerful positions, and her husband. And she enslaved Khabbab ibn al-Arat at a young age and trained him to become a blacksmith. He became very well known in Mecca. In fact, everyone would go to Khabbab ibn al-Arat so that they could have their swords made for war. And soon in Mecca, he was well known for being one of the most handy craftsmen in building swords. And he was a young man in his teens. Khabbab ibn al-Arat had a heart full of seeking freedom. And he hated the society that he saw around him, where people preferred themselves over him simply because of the color of his skin. Simply because he was a slave, he was enslaved, even though he came from one of the most powerful tribes in all of Arabia. That he was a noble lineage. And these people thought that they were better than him. This bothered Khabbab ibn al-Arat until he heard the message in the very early stages of the Meccan period in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he knew Rasulullah, he knew who Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. But then he saw a change taking place in front of him. This man who was known as a trustworthy, that he would look at the weak in society with an eye of mercy, that he would look at them granting them comfort and solace, and not looking at them in an eye of arrogance like everyone else. This man was now preaching something that gave him hope. This man was now teaching him what his heart already taught him anyway. And that is, every man is born free under the servitude of only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when this message was openly preached by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the very early stage of Islam, Khabbab ibn al-Arat was among as-sabiqoon al-awwaloon. He was among the early and foremost companions to accept Islam. In fact, the scholars say he was the 20th human being on earth to accept Islam. After Ali radiallahu anhu, after Khadija radiallahu anha, after Abu Bakr and Uthman and Abdurrahman ibn Auf and Zubayr, Khabbab ibn al-Arat was among the first to accept Islam. And his age was 20 years old. He was a young man. And he accepted this faith. And he chose the responsibility knowing what it will do to him. That he would go against the system of oppression of Quraysh and looking at your fellow man with an eye of arrogance. Eventually what happened is, Khabbab ibn al-Arat was among the first seven of the companions to openly claim they were Muslim. The scholars say that the first one to openly claim his Islam was none other than our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The leader of a community, always being the first. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then Khabbab ibn al-Arat. Khabbab ibn al-Arat. And Suhaib al-Rumi. And Bilal radiallahu anhu. And Ammar, and Ammar's mother, Sumayya, radiallahu anha. The first two you all know, of course. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he proclaimed his Islam, at the very onset of the message, that his uncle was the one who protected him. Abu Talib protected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from any harm. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was protected by his tribe. He was known as one of the most noble men of Quraysh, a businessman with wealth, and a tribe that would protect him. The rest of the seven were slaves. The rest of the seven were the weakest of society. And they faced immediate punishment, torture, and oppression from the very beginning of Islam. You all know Bilal radiallahu anhu. Everyone has heard the story of Bilal. In fact, there's a movie about his life that everyone celebrates the story of Bilal radiallahu anhu and how he was tortured for the values he held in seeking freedom in the servitude to one God and one Creator. But many of us don't know what happened to the rest of them. You all know as well Ammar ibn Yasir and his mother Sumayya, where Ammar radiallahu anhu was being tortured and punished while his mother was being tortured in front of him. Sumayya radiallahu anha. And his father Yasir being tortured in front of him. And the first martyr in Islam was this woman, this righteous woman, Sumayya radiallahu anha. We all know that story. But what happened to Khabbab? Khabbab radiallahu anhu was known to be the one that was tortured the most in Mecca without being killed. More than Bilal, yes, more than even Bilal radiallahu anhu arda. He was known to be tortured the most without having been killed. What was his story? Khabbab radiallahu anhu was a blacksmith that was very well known, as we said. His master, this woman, Anmar, heard about the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spreading in Mecca. And this started to affect the society at large, because what? The message of Islam is something that changes the fabric of the society from the oppression which holds grasp of the weak. And the Quraysh Meccans did not want to give up that power. In fact, they used this pagan idol worship as the system of oppression in their time. So what did this woman do? She started to hear that, in fact, the people they were afraid that would revolt against them are now accepting this faith and finding power and equality. And she heard that there are a number of them that have openly said that they were Muslim, Bilal radiallahu anhu, and Abu Bakr, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Ammar, and his mother Sumayya, and Yasir. And then they heard a news which shook them even more. They heard that their slave, Khabbab ibn al-Arat, has accepted Islam. And they rushed. She sent her son, Siba'a ibn Abd al-Uzza, a young, powerful man, full of arrogance, tribalism, racism, and nobility. And he went with a gang of youth from the heads of the Khuza'a tribe and Mudar tribes. These are the big shots of Quraysh. And they made their way to Khabbab. And they said that, "We heard some news. لَقَدْ بَلَغْنَا عَنْكَ نَبَأً لَمْ نُصَدِّقُ." We heard some news about you that we don't believe. You wouldn't do this to us. And Khabbab ibn al-Arat said, what's the news? What are you talking about? They said, "يُشَاعَ عَنْكَ أَنَّكَ أَصَبَأْتَ وَتَبِعْتَ غُلَامِ ابْنِ هِشَامِ." We heard from you that you became Sabi. Sabi means someone who rejects. We heard from you someone that rejects our ways. You've accepted this religion of the Ghulam, the young man of the Banu Hashim. And Khabbab ibn al-Arat says, "Ma sabat, wa inna ma amantu billah wahda, la sharika lah, wa nabathtu asnamak, wa shahadtu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He said, "I have not given up my religion. I have not rejected like you claim. I only believe in one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without any partner. And I reject your idols. And I believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger." No sooner had Khabbab said these words that they were on top of him, beating him senseless. And as they beat him with their fists, they took iron bars from his blacksmith shop, and they beat him until he went unconscious. The news spread in all of Mecca that the weakest of society is accepting this faith that Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is spreading. That he's giving hope to these slaves against our systematic oppression. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam do? He encouraged them. He said, "Stay strong. Stay strong, you're on truth, and God will give victory to this faith." People still could not believe it. And they went to Khabbab ibn al-Arat and said, "How dare you? How dare you go against the Quraysh?" And in fact, they held a meeting of the most noble of the Quraysh, Abu Sufyan and Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira and Abu Jahl, in order to solve this problem. They noted that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was getting stronger. And they brought Siba'a ibn Abd al-Uzza. And they noted that your servant, your slave, is the one causing us these problems. Fix this issue before it spreads to the rest of Mecca. Cut the disease before it becomes a tumor. So they regularly started to punish Khabbab radiallahu anhu arda. This woman, Anmar, with her son, Siba'a ibn Abd al-Uzza, would come to Khabbab and they would beat him until they say, "What do you say about Muhammad?" And he would say, "He is a servant of Allah and His Messenger. He has come with the religion of guidance and truth to lead us from darkness into light." They would say, "What do you say about Lat and Uzza? We have two gods, they're better than one. They're the ones who bring us benefit and protect us from harm." And he would reply firmly while he's being hit, "Two idols, deaf and dumb. They cannot cause harm or bring any benefit." This enraged Ammar so much that they had him thrown on the ground. And she took hot iron ore and shoved it in his back until it melted. And she kept shoving it in his back while he screamed and saying, "Wallahi, nothing made that hot iron cold except my back." And they would take the coals of this blacksmith ore and pour it on the back of Khabbab ibn al-Arad, literally hot iron and hot coal, until it would melt on his back. This is what Khabbab ibn al-Arad would go through. He was literally the one who was punished the most out of all of them. And that's exactly what he said. He said that I was punished the most out of all of the people of Mecca. He came to the Prophet ﷺ one day. And I'm sure you've heard this hadith before, but maybe you never heard the context. He saw Rasulullah ﷺ, the mercy to mankind, his back against the Kaaba, relaxing in his normal area where he wished to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. And he went to Rasulullah ﷺ, and he said to him, "Ya Rasulullah, we're being punished. We're being tortured. Bilal is suffering. So and so is suffering. Ala tad'u Allah lana? Ala tastansir Allah lana? Aren't you going to ask Allah to make dua for us? To make dua for us, to give us victory? Aren't you going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a way to overcome this?" And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him a response which confuses many of us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he looked at him and his face became red. And he said, "لقد كان من قبل من قبلكم لا يمشط بمشاط الحديد ما دون عظامه من لحم أو عصب ما يصرف ذلك عن دينه." That before you, O Khabbab, there were people that would have claws of iron put against their meat and their bones ripped from their nerves until their meat separates their body while they're alive, and this would not make them leave the faith. And there were people before you that would be buried in the ground until they're halfway, and then they would have a saw placed, an iron saw placed over their heads, and they would be sawed in half while they're alive, and that wouldn't make them leave their faith. But rather, أنتم قوم تستعجلون, you are a people that are in haste. Who is he saying this to? Who is the one speaking? Rasulullah, the mercy to mankind, alayhi salatu wasalam. But why is he telling this to Khabbab? Now you understand the context. Khabbab was the one who was tortured the most without being killed in Mecca. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave even Khabbab a powerful lesson. Even Khabbab had to be given a powerful lesson to make him understand what this faith entails. He said to him, "Yes, Khabbab, you were punished, you've been tortured. Oppression has been committed against you. But there were people who had it worse than you. There were people who were killed alive and tortured until they died in this horrible manner. So reflect over what you're asking. Have patience. Bear the burden of this responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you overcome." And Khabbab ibn al-Arat learned from the lesson that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught him in this. Khabbab ibn al-Arat became one of the scholars of the companions, to the extent, because of him, one of the greatest leaders in all of Mecca accepted Islam. And this man was Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu wa'ta. Because of Khabbab? Yes, because of Khabbab ibn al-Arat. Umar ibn al-Khattab was known as a drunk, as you all know, who wanted to kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam one day. This man was an oppressive tyrant who made it his day job to punish and torture Muslims. He would try to find the weak and beat them. And at night he would drink. A man who lived with a purposeless existence. And finally he said, you know what, I have had enough. I'm going to go kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a man by the name of Nu'aym ibn Abdullah, who was hiding his Islam, tells him, why don't you go take care of your own family first before you go care about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, what do you mean? He said, your own sister has accepted Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab. Go take care of your own household. In order to thwart him from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as he rushes, he goes to the home of his sister, Fatima bint al-Khattab. He knocks on the door. He says, who is there? He hears the Quran being recited. I hear the Quran. Who is in the house? Who was in the house? Khabbab ibn al-Arat. Teaching the Quran to his sister and her husband Sa'id ibn Zayd. And when he hears Umar al-Khattab, he runs away. He runs away and he hides in the house. She opens the door, he rushes in anger. He's already angry about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he hears about this Quran and that his sister has accepted Islam. He asked her, what is this? What was this recital? And she said, nothing, don't worry about it. And Umar ibn al-Khattab hits the husband of Fatima radiallahu anha, who was trying to protect his wife from Umar. And as he falls, she comes to try to help her husband, and Umar hits his own sister. And as he hits her, she falls to the ground, she starts to bleed. And Umar al-Khattab is breathing loudly. And he looks at Sa'id ibn Zayd, and he looks at Fatima ibn al-Khattab, and he feels remorse, and he starts to calm down. And he says, give me the parchment you are reciting. And she says to him, I'm not going to give it to you until you wash yourself. Go clean up before we give it. And as Umar ibn Khattab comes back, he sees Khabbab ibn al-Arat come out of hiding. He says, oh, Umar has calmed down, it's safe to come out. And Umar radiallahu anhu takes the parchment that Khabbab ibn al-Arat was reciting to them. And that was the chapter of the Quran known as Surah Taha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'an litashqa illa tazkiratan liman yakhsha tanzeelan mimman khalaqa al-arza was-samawati al-ula ar-Rahman الرحمن على العرش استوى له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى طه. We have not sent down this Qur'an to you so that you may be distressed and in agony. Who's reciting this? Umar ibn al-Khattab. Was the Qur'an revealed to him these verses? No. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides with this Qur'an even oppressive tyrants who live in distress and agony. Allah sent this Qur'an through Khabbab ibn al-Arat to Umar ibn al-Khattab to remind him, Allah did not reveal this Qur'an, O Umar, so that you may be distressed and in agony. But it is only a reminder for those who are conscious of their Lord. A revelation from who created the heavens and the earth, and the most merciful who is above the throne. To him belongs what is in the heavens and what is on the earth, and what is between them and what is under the soil. And if you, O Umar, if you speak loudly, because he's known to be a very loud man, then indeed he knows what is even secret in your heart. And what is even more hidden than that, Allah knows you, Umar. And Allah, there is no deity except him. To him belong the best of names. As if Allah is literally shaking this powerful man, this oppressive man, shaking him and saying, will you not wake up, O Umar? Will you not understand why you were created? Will you then seek purpose from this purposeless existence? And this strikes the heart of Umar ibn al-Khattab. To the extent he looks up And he says, مَا أَحْسَنَ هَذَا الْكَلَامِ وَأَكْرَمَ. What beautiful speech this is, and how noble. Allah guided the heart of Umar radiallahu anhu. And when Khabbab saw Umar had calmed down, now he talks. He says to him, يَا عُمَرْ وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَرْجُوا أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهَ قَدْ خَصَّكَ بِدَعْوَةِ نَبِيِّهِ فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُهُ أَمْسُ وَهُ يَقُولُ اللَّهُمَّ أَيِّدِ الْإِسْلَامِ بِأَبِي الْحَكَمِ بْنِ هِشَامِ أَبِي عُمَرَ بْنِ الْخَطَّابِ. He says, Wallahi Umar, I swear by Allah, I hope that the dua, the prayer of the Prophet ﷺ has reached you. Just yesterday, I heard the Prophet praying for you, saying, Oh Allah, serve Islam with either the acceptance of Abu Jahl or the acceptance of Umar ibn al-Khattab, the two worst enemies of Islam at that time. And Umar says, did the Prophet ﷺ say this? He said, yes. He said, let me see the Prophet ﷺ. And he tells him that he's in Dar al-Arqam by the mountain of Safa. And Umar radiallahu anhu accepts Islam because of Khabbab ibn al-Arat. This wasn't it. Khabbab ibn al-Arat continued to strive in the way of Islam to the extent he was cheated, he was beaten, he was tortured. And one day, as he was making a sword for one of the most well-known people in Quraysh, Al-As ibn Wa'il, who was one of the noblemen, he took a loan from him. And Khabbab said, I will make the sword on loan, don't worry. So he comes and he asks for his loan. He says, As ibn Wa'il, where is my loan? And he says, I'm not going to give you the loan until, you know, your Prophet Muhammad, he says, one day we will be resurrected. We don't believe in this nonsense. What resurrection? We're all going to die and become bones. This was the belief of the Arab pagans at that time. No one will be resurrected. So he said, I will take then my right on the day of resurrection. He's like, I will then give you your money on the day of resurrection when I have children and money to give you. So Khabbab ibn al-Arat went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Allah azza wa jal revealed the Quran because of Khabbab ibn al-Arat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا وَقَالَ لَأُوتِيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا أَطَّلَعَ الْغَيْبَ أَمِ اتَّخَذَ عِنْدَ الرَّحْمَنِ عَهْدًا كَلَّا سَنَكْتُبُ مَا يَقُولُ وَنَمُدُّ لَهُ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ مَدًّا وَنَرِثُهُ مَا يَقُولُ وَيَأْتِينَا فَرْدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals about him. Say, O Prophet, the Lord of mercy lengthens the lives of the misguided until when they are confronted with what they have been warned about. Either they will be punished, or the hour of the day of judgment, they will realize who was worse in the situation and who were the weakest. But Allah gives more guidance to those who are guided. And good deeds of lasting merit are best and more rewarding in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Muhammad, have you considered the man, Al-As ibn Wa'il, who rejects our revelation and says, I will be given wealth and children. I'm not going to be raised on the day of resurrection. Has he penetrated the unknown? Does he know the unseen? Or received a pledge from God, thinking that the Lord of mercy will give him all of this? No, we will record what he says and prolong his punishment. We will inherit from him all that he speaks, and he will come to us alone on the day of judgment. They have taken other gods beside Allah to give them strength. But these gods, on the day of judgment, will reject their worship and will even turn against them. This story of the Quran was also revealed about Khabbab ibn al-Arat. Eventually, Khabbab ibn al-Arat lives the life of the Prophet ﷺ with him, witnessing all of the life of Rasulullah ﷺ next to him. He witnessed his own master's dying. Allah punishes his master Anmar with such severe migraine, and it could be even considered a type of disease, that she had to have her head cauterized. When she used to stick hot iron into the back of Khabbab ibn al-Arat, causing him punishment, Allah caused that she have a disease, they have to stick hot iron on her head. And she eventually died. Her son, who used to punish and beat him and whip him and torture him, met them on the day of Uhud in the third year of Hijrah in Medina. And Khabbab ibn al-Arat sees with his own eyes Hamza radiallahu anhu dueling his master Siba' ibn Abd al-Uzza and he kills him. Khabbab ibn al-Arat then sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passing. Khabbab ibn al-Arat spent the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam being in his service and being one of the most beloved companions to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said that I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a hadith gathering with all of us, he's come together. And he says to us, Isma'u, listen carefully. And we said, Sami'na ya Rasulullah. We obey and we hear ya Rasulullah. They said, and then they said, we heard the Prophet say, Isma'u, listen. And we said, Sami'na, we listen ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, Innahu sayakunu alaykum umara fala tu'ayyinuhum ala dhulmihim. There will come over you leaders of oppression. So don't aid them in their oppression. فَمَنْ صَدَّقَهُمْ بِكَذِبِهِمْ فَلَنْ يَرُدَّ عَلَى الْحَوْمِ. Then whoever believes their oppression and oppressive leaders, they will not come to me in the day of judgment where I will meet them by my pool called the Hawd. Khabbab ibn al-Arat then spends the rest of his life with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Umar radiallahu anhu, and Uthman radiallahu anhu, and Ali radiallahu anhu. And he, in his end, towards the end of his life, becomes very, very sick. And as he is sick, he's laying on his deathbed, reflecting over his life, over everything that he went through. And he remembers when he sat with Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He says, I entered on Umar ibn al-Khattab, and he told me, Ijlis ya Khabbab. Sit, Khabbab ibn al-Arat, because this station belongs to no one better than you except one man. He said, which other man? He said, Bilal. He said, no, Bilal does not even deserve that station. He said, what do you mean? He said, I was punished the worst out of all of the people of Mecca. I was taken and had hot iron and hot coal shoved in my back until it melted my back. And nothing cooled that hot iron except my own back. And Bilal radiallahu anhu did not even receive that. And he remembered on his deathbed the times where he was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said to him as they gathered around this great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abshir ya Aba Abdullah, tarid ala ikhwanik al-hawm. Be happy, O Abu Abdullah. He was the father of his son Abdullah. And he said, you will see your companions very soon. Innakum, and he said that, Innakum dhakartum li ikhwanan madal. You mentioned to me my brothers who passed before me. Those brothers that I will meet, I remembered that they did not get any material wealth from their Islam. I remembered Hamza radiallahu anhu, who didn't even have a cloth to cover his face when he was killed at Uhud. I remembered those who passed before me, who didn't get any material wealth of the conquests of Islam. And he started to cry. And he said, I'm afraid. مَا نَخَافْ أَنْ يَكُونَ ثَوَابًا لِتِلْكَ الْأَعْمَالِ. I'm afraid that we are being given our reward in this world while they're being given their reward for their actions in the hereafter. So they asked Khabbab ibn al-Arat to calm down. And he asked to bring a kafan so that he can prepare himself for death. And as he covered himself, he thought about Hamza radiallahu anhu again. And he started to weep and cry and said, Hamza, the uncle of the Prophet, didn't even have a shroud to cover his head that would cover also his feet. And he started to cry. He said that, Wallahi, I didn't even have a dirham during the time of the Prophet ﷺ. لا أملك درهم في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And now I have over 40,000 silver coins and 80,000 gold coins in this storage room that wallahi I have never spent, except if someone needed it, I gave it to them. And I give it all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reflecting in his final times. As he passed away, in 37 year hijrah, Ali radiallahu anhu prayed over his blessed body. And he said about him, this great companion of Islam, a man who was downtrodden because of his color, racism against him, oppression, tyranny, punishment, torture that none other had seen like him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised in honor and status and revealed the Quran about this man. He said about him, رحمه الله خبابا. May Allah have mercy on Khabbab. أسلم راغبا. He accepted Islam yearning for the guidance of Allah. وهاجر طائعا. And he migrated out of exile as a refugee in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وعاش مجاهدا. He was a fighter who fought for the truth and the values of Islam. وابتلي في جسمه. And he was tried in his body and tortured and punished. وَلَنْ يُضَيِّعَ اللَّهُ أَجْرُ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. And Allah will never let the reward of those who do good in this faith go in vain. ثُمَّ دَنَا مِنْ قُبُورِهِمْ. Then he came down to his grave and he said about him and the people in the grave, السلام عليكم أهل الديار. السلام عليكم, peace be unto you, O people of this land and this graveyard. من المؤمنين والمسلمين, from the believers. أنت لنا سلف فارط ونحن لكم تبع عما قيل لاحقا. You are the one who preceded us to what is promised, and we're going to follow you soon. اللهم اغفر لنا ولهم. Oh Allah, forgive us and them. وتجاوز بعفوك عنا وعنهم. And pardon us and forgive us over what we have done and forgive them. طوبى لمن ذكر الميعاد. May glad tidings be for the one who remembers their hereafter and works for it. وَالْعَمَلِ الْحِسَابِ. And who works for a day will they be held to account. وَقَنَعَ بِالْكَفَافِ. And they are happy with the little that Allah has given them. And they find contentment. وَأَرْضَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلِ. And they please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was Khabbab ibn al-Arat. This is who a man, Allah Azza wa Jal, raised his mention in the heavens and revealed the Quran about. This was a man who single-handedly represented Islam and who he was. This was a man, brothers and sisters, that many of us may not reflect over his life, but Allah raised his mention until the day of judgment. Some of the lessons that we can learn from his life, brothers and sisters, is a man who earned his nobility in the taqwa of Allah regardless of his color. So ask yourselves, do you follow in the footsteps of Abu Bakr and Uthman and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who taught to remove racism? Or are you part of the Quraysh who still has racism in their heart and differentiates humanity based on it? Are we among the ones who raise in our community the examples of people who have taqwa, or we raise them based on how much money they have and their status in this world and their life? And most of all, we learn from Khabbab ibn al-Arat, their vision was in the vision of the Akhirah and the hereafter. They always sought the pleasure of their Lord, no matter how lowly their stance may have been in the eyes of people. And ultimately, even when they were passing, they realized that the true success is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not taking anything from this world with them except that they used it for this pleasure. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to have a companionship with our master Khabbab ibn al-Arad in the companionship of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the highest of heavens. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability to understand the level of sacrifice these people had, for us to understand the lessons in their life to overcome and have patience like they did over the Islamophobia that they went against, to help us in the Islamophobia that we go against in our time, that we have forbearance and patience like that of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that we are gathered and we meet our end with thinking about the gathering with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah bless all of you. Wa sallallahu wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.